Welcome to the Mortgage and Mindset in Minutes podcast, and I'm your host, Tiffany Rose, where you'll get a little on mortgage and a lot on mindset. Oh, wow. This is a big one today, talking about patterns. So you may think this isn't that big of a deal, or that you don't have negative patterns, or maybe you aren't even aware. So there could be, and likely is, a boatload of things going on that you may not even be aware of. So I cannot wait to cover these with you today. So here's the deal. We all have 1,000% patterns, good or bad. It doesn't matter, but they're all patterns. It's really, in other words, habits, routines, discipline, rituals, whatever you want to say. But I'm going to use the word patterns for a majority of this today. So some people can call it just like that one negative thing that other people just say, well, that's like bad luck or whatever. Or that amazing thing that happened that I'm like, no, I'm just disciplined. So whatever you call it, it's going to either give you success or it's going to give you failure. So I love the saying that success leaves clues. And honestly, failure leaves clues as well. So if you were seeing shiny objects and course correcting all the time and, you know, using your air in your lungs to vent about things, complain, and sometimes you vent or complain just to avoid actually doing the work that's going to take to problem solve, whatever it is you're complaining about, that's a clue towards your failure in resolving the problem or making that magic happen in your business. Success leaves you, and listen to this in its entirety, but success leaves clues. And let's use the example of if you read a book or listen to a book, whatever. I like to listen to books because I fall asleep if I read most books, except for The Quantum Woman by Shamina Taylor and Project 369. Those are amazing to make it like interactive and underline things and highlight or whatever. But if you're the type of person that buys a book and reads part of it or listens to an Audible and you don't follow through, and I want you to realize that, again, success leaves clues. So you don't move on to another book until you implemented that knowledge that you gained and you spent the time reading it. You may as well implement it. So if you're the type that's like, hell yeah, that's me, I wait until I finish the whole book, then that's a clue towards your success. If you are the type that I started explaining that you get a book and you're like, oh, you know, this isn't for me, and you move on, that's failure, leaving clues right there. But seriously, why are patterns so important for you to become aware of? In my opinion, it's because I truly believe that awareness, and this has been proven through people like Bob Proctor, Science of Getting Rich book, The Bible, The Secret, but awareness, no matter who's talking about it, where you read it, is the first step to solving a problem, because without knowing and being aware of the problem, you are just straight up stuck in what I have learned to have it be called unconscious incompetence, meaning you don't even know that there's a gap in one of your skills or knowledge. And many more wildly successful, beautiful human beings in the present know that awareness is the first step to solving a problem or scaling your business. If we're talking about money and success, we'll talk about scaling. So I've coached thousands of mortgage lenders across the United States. And what I've come to realize is, you know, we're all born with God-given gifts. And one of my superpowers that I didn't even really know I had to this extent until I started coaching was knowing exactly the personality trait that is blocking you from your life of your dreams and the business success that, which equals money, right? That you're blocked from that. I can pinpoint it so fast. And this isn't like sarcastic, like, well, what's your problem? What's wrong with you? You know, this is not to point out your flaws or find out what your flaws are. Hell no. There would be nothing in it for me to pull out what's wrong with you, shove it in your face, and like tell you that you're broken. And by the way, nobody is broken. You are right where you should be. And you experience whatever challenges or challenge that you're going through or have in the past, exactly what you needed to experience to be the best success story in the making. Alex Hormozi was talking about on one of the YouTubes. He puts out like 100, 150 pieces of content a day sometimes. So hello, like no wonder that social media rocks because he's a multimillionaire. And look how much content you got to put out. So you got to find ways to collapse time instead of like working harder, which is why digital marketing, social media, one-to-many marketing is so important. But he always says that whatever you're going through in your life, whatever negative thought patterns and processes you're stuck in, you're creating the best success story ever for your future self. So congratulate yourself if you're going through something crazy and heavy right now. But remember, you're never behind. You're always right where you should be. But my superpower, going back to that, is that I can talk to somebody for like sometimes 5 minutes and I will know exactly why they're in the whatever position it is that they're in, whether it's good or whether it's bad. And remember, if somebody makes more money than you, you do what they do. If somebody makes less money, make sure that you pay wildly attention to, you know what, is this something that I want to make sure I never do? Do I interrupt? Do I brag? Do I not use my active listening, right? So whatever it is, that's, again, success or failure leaving clues. It's one of your patterns. So let me go back to my own story. And I say these things, I wish one day, I went to college for 4 days and my intentions, my full intentions, right, were to go to be a psychiatrist or psychologist, but I'm not a licensed therapist, but I am an empath. So I kind of got what I was looking for and I really wish I could go back and I could, right? We can do anything we want, but to go back and get that license because people would pay attention to what I'm saying more. But for right now, I'm not licensed. So I'm going to go with that I am an empath. And empaths are sometimes built always having to be aware of other people's emotions and reactions or potential reactions to keep themselves safe. So my dad, he had a temper and he was unpredictable. He would never physically like abuse myself or my sister, but he had the type of personality that you had to be very careful because you didn't know if you were laughing and joking with them and everything was fine. And then all of a sudden it would turn into something scary because even if it just annoyed him because you said something he didn't like, then that would be me having to read somebody's emotions, which created me being an empath. But I remember one time we were joking. I kind of forgot about this. We were joking and laughing and my sister flung a scrunchie at my dad. And it was like, you know, a scrunchie, a rubber band. I grew up in the 80s. Okay. Scrunchies are coming back, but they were like super popular back then, but it was rubber band for a girl's hair. And it hit him in the face and he got so pissed. And he was like, what are you trying to kill me or something? I was like, what the hell is he talking about? It's a freaking scrunchie. But because of that, I built a muscle of like reading people's emotions and being very like minding my P's and Q's and people pleasing, which has been a great thing, especially as a mortgage loan officer. We all know if you're a lender listening to this, we got to people please our life away in some situations, but it's not the right thing to do, but that is a gift because you're actually more caring than somebody who's like obviously a narcissist or something. And so I developed that and that was my pattern, is to be an empath and all of that. So now I'm a coach and because I'm an empath, I can feel that person's energy. And my mom, I can talk to her and I know the point she's trying to get across that maybe she's like a little bit afraid to say, or doesn't, you know, she's hinting instead. I'm like, I already know you, mom. I already know what you're trying to say. And it's helped me as an employee all of these years with management, because they've wanted to tell other people something. And I'm like, you know, people interrupting or being negative Nancy in a meeting, I'm an empath. So I'm like, oh, I'm not going to say anything. They're looking to me to be almost like grounding for them when the world's going crazy, the meeting's going crazy. And they liked me more because of it. I got more opportunities. So that was my pattern of being a people pleaser, an empath, and all of that. But moving on, I firmly believe that life happens for us and not to us, meaning I am not the victim of any of that bullshit that I just rattled off. My dad having a temper or having secondhand embarrassment in a meeting, any challenges I've experienced in my life, I'm not a victim to that. I'm empowered by it. So if you have a pattern of being a victim, blaming other people, paying for something, which we'll address in a minute, and not following through with it, that's your pattern. So I have learned to get empowered by these kinds of things. And I love being empowered. It's a beautiful place to be. I would way rather be that than being a victim from my past and, you know, just rehashing my traumas all the time. So when I talk to my students and they're talking about their health, their struggles, their mental health, like anything, I literally, sometimes I'll say, hey, great meeting with you. Let's start on a positive note. Tell me all the things in your business that's working for you as a loan officer right now. And 90% of them will go right into the negative things. Well, yeah, I mean, I tried to go to some open houses, but you know, it didn't do. I'm like, oh, wait, nope. I'll let them go on. I'll let them carry on for a few minutes because it's helpful insight for me too. See how they articulate themselves. See if they stay on track. See if they were prepared, if they have a pen and paper in hand, if they're ready to take notes. Find out how I can help them make that paradigm shift. And how crazy it is that most of them go straight to the negative. So when you sit there in your thoughts and you're like, what's working in your business? And you set aside your failures, your weaknesses, your losses, your perceived failures of what's not working, you can focus on what is working. But it's so hard for us to stay in that positive lane. It's so easy and it almost feels safer for us to veer into the other lane and start talking about all the bad stuff. So I had to overcome my negative thought patterns like no other. And I'm going to tell you this story, and I don't tell many people this. Now I'm telling it to the world, whoever's going to watch, listen to this. I was listening to, because it was kind of embarrassing, but I was like, you know what? I'm here to be inspiration and influence, help people, give value. So screw it. I'm going to tell these stories. And we've all had these moments. So it's like me being vulnerable. I hope it helps you. But anyways, I was listening to Dr. Wayne Dyer, Change Your Thoughts, Change Your Reality book on Audible. I was driving. And if you have kids in the car, I'll give you a moment to turn this down for 60 seconds. I'm just going to swear a little bit real quick because I got to tell my whole truth and nothing but the truth. So I was listening to, so turn the radio down if you're in your car listening to this or somebody can hear a child. So I was listening to this book on 1.5 Audible speed. And because I like to speed read through books, I want to get all the information as quickly as possible. And I was in traffic and I had just dropped off my daughter from basketball. And I was so upset at my ex-husband because I know that he purposely sets up unhealthy scenarios for me to see like how much crap I can take and how much pressure I can take. And then when I do break, he'll be like, you can't handle it. You see, why'd you have a baby over 40 years old? And he's just a total narcissist. But anyways, he signed my daughter up for 3 different competitive basketball teams without explaining to me the commitments. I had to drive in traffic for like half hour when I just got home from work off a 3-day event, and not a 3-day bender, 3-day event, teaching Invincible Lender. And I was trying to change my thoughts and be more positive and grateful that she loves basketball and don't worry about your ex-husband and he taught you so many lessons and I'm a thriving coach and all this stuff. I had a moment where I was listening to something that's kind of a heavy listen, like a heavy read. You really have to focus. It's not something easy to listen to. And I had a moment where I got so pissed and I started yelling, shut the fuck up, shut the F up, shut the F up. I was literally yelling at this poor guy that I don't even know if Dr. Wayne, if he's alive, if he's passed away, I don't know. But I was listening to his book and I was yelling, shut the F up repeatedly and banging on the steering wheel like a psycho, okay? And I was so frustrated and angry and I didn't understand what he was saying, probably because I was listening to the book in 1.5 speed, but I couldn't even connect with the energy of the book because when I looked back and tried to analyze the situation, I'm like, all right, Science of Getting Rich says move fast, but not in a hurry. And I swear that sentence shook me and it made so much sense because if I'm listening to an Audible on high speed, if I'm driving in traffic and I'm working and I'm not being, you know, slowing down to speed up where I can barely even hear the words that this Audible is telling me that's being spoken to me, and I'm just driving frustrated and worried, worrying also blocks creativity. So if I'm rushing and worrying, that's a pattern of mine. That's something that's built in us, usually from a parent or a traumatic experience as a child, or multiple experiences like strung together. So my mom was a worrier and she had a lot of reason to worry. She was married to my dad, right? Rest in peace, my dad, but she was married to my dad. And because I'm such a people pleaser, because I'm a high achiever, I move very quickly, but move fast, but not in a hurry. There's a difference. So that's for another day. I did a podcast on the science of getting rich. And it's something to really pay attention to. Stop worrying because it blocks your creativity. Stop hurrying, move fast, but stop hurrying because you can't do anything all out and go all in and speak from the heart or create something from the heart if you're just like rushing through it just to check mark the box. So slow down to speed up, in other words. And if one of your pattern is rushing or worrying, you've got to slow down to speed up and you've got to just pray more and worry less, okay? So when I was yelling at that book in the car, I had been absolutely searching for answers. And as much as I have my business model together and my money's right and my kids are happy and I had lost the 10 pounds that I wanted to lose, and I felt like there was more. We've never arrived in life. I'm a lifelong learner, but it was like infuriating me because there was something missing. I was like, okay, how much plant medicine can I do? And how much money do I need? How much do I need to meditate? My mind was spinning and I was looking for something and I wasn't sure what I was actually looking for because I had plenty of abundance. I always have, do now, always will. But that night I was yelling at poor Wayne in the car and all I knew was I was frustrating and angry. And I left it at that. I drove home in traffic just to turn around and get back in the car and pick up my daughter. And again, it was a pattern I did not recognize. So as the months went on, I continued to do one-on-one coaching with my students. And I believe our children are our teachers just as much as we parent them. I believe that my students in Ignite, my trailblazers, are teachers to me just as much as I help my students and try to light that, like extend that hand of hope to them and help guide them. So when I listen to people one-on-one, like victim after victim, blaming branch managers, interest rates, blaming the way they look, blaming illnesses, family matters, I started to notice a difference between the ones that were funding $50 million in my course versus $5 million. But they all had a routine, just as sure as we brush our teeth in the morning. So now for the $50 million per year success, their pattern was working long hours, not having automations in place, not understanding video, text messages, for example, staying on the phone too long with clients. A lot of them are high achievers, which equals a lot of like people pleasers. So they just want to talk and talk and sit on the phone. They had control issues, issues with delegating. So they were so busy in their days that they're thinking short term, like, let me just get through the day. So they wouldn't take the time to do things like, for example, one of them, I said, why don't you use ChatGPT to write a Facebook ad or something to like, or for Upwork to get a virtual assistant, to get more processing help, or to do something different to offload your pattern that you have for yourself. So their pattern was that they were too busy to make change. And many of them, many of my students that I've coached, this is important for you to hear, they don't value money because it's flowing in so easily, quote unquote easily, which is working like 12-hour days in the freaking mortgage business, but it flowed out too frequently and just as easily as it came in because they didn't value what they were paying for out there in the world to get the support that they knew they needed, but it wasn't giving them the time to truly lead or pay attention to what they're paying for. And this is a big hindrance because people that have a lot of money, at least some of my students, normally you pay attention to what you pay for, but when the money is flowing in too easily, too quote unquote easily, you weren't paying attention to what you're paying for. So like, what a freaking conundrum, right? Like I pay somebody to do the thing because money's coming in, but I'm not paying attention to who, I'm not leading the people that I'm paying. So they don't know what to do. And they're not using my authentic voice and my ads suck and all these things. Like it's just really stepping up again, becoming aware that you're even doing that. So I started thinking about my own patterns and me waking up in the morning, not celebrating what I have, not even taking a moment to change my mood by taking some deep breath and making sure that my mind, as it's waking up from the super conscious world, being connected to God and back into my conscious mind, I wasn't thinking about all the awesome things that I'm grateful for. I would be like, is it Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? Okay, it's Wednesday. Okay, I got to do this. There's a blessing that you even wake up in the morning that you still have air in your lungs. So why not take a moment to be grateful? So I would start scrolling immediately on social media. I would be reactive. I would check my email. And I would certainly, sure as shit, find problems in my email. And I would be in a more not present, I should say, more of a bad mood when my kids are off to school because I looked at my email and sure as shit found the problems. And I should be going into my office knowing what are my money making activities, what are my big rocks today that I'm going to move, what am I grateful for? I'm going to celebrate my wins and successes at the end of a workday. But I'm sitting there being a consumer of social media to get that dopamine hit that I needed, that serotonin, because I woke up in a bad mood. Even if you're scrolling during the day in your business for just 20 minutes to like make yourself feel better, procrastinate because that's your pattern, that is 20 minutes too long because it took you off track and it takes another 20 minutes to get back on track. And maybe you forgot what you set out to do and now you're mad and you blamed it on the fact that you have a toddler, like what I was doing, or that it's your fault, or it's that one phone call that you got, or it's that email that you got in the morning. But it's none of that. This is a hamster wheel that you're putting yourself on. So me checking my email, looking for problems that of course I found and not making change, that's like checking your mailbox for bills. And of course you're going to keep finding bills and you're probably going to keep finding more of them because you keep looking for it. So start looking for the opportunities, the wins, the success, right? Start looking for the positive habits that you've built and don't be in a bad mood in the morning. Don't even check your email. Nothing's that important that you have to start answering emails at 6:30 a.m. or 7 a.m. or whenever you wake up. And if you don't wake up till 9 o'clock and you feel behind, then that's probably a problem. You should read the 5 a.m. M Club and start getting a little bit, set your alarm for 15 minutes earlier a day. But anyways, I would get to work and I would think about the 500 things that I wanted to get done, which is impossible for me to complete in one day. I would feel defeated, frustrated, behind, and I would go home just as pissed off as the way I was when I left for work. This was a constant, you know the word, pattern of mine. So when I was listening to that book, I started to realize, oh my God, I'm angry, I'm frustrated, I'm driving around, I didn't even know my daughter had practice, I'm letting my ex-husband bully me and making me feel less than. That's a ritual and routine that I'm allowing. So I decided that I wanted to pay people to do things for me. And that would be the magic pill and that would be the solve. But I wasn't leading them. I was putting my goals, dreams, visions, and my money in somebody else's hands. So let me stop there for a second. You are unique. You have an authentic voice and message to share that nobody else can pull together for you. So if you're paying somebody to do Google ads, Facebook ads, create your content, manage your CRM, create canned, boring, happy birthday, happy 4th of July things, you know that you can do it on your own, but you would rather have somebody else do it because you're afraid of a little bit of hard work, or you're a control freak, so you keep trying to do it yourself. But those are like the three reasons. So there's three reasons why you, let me rephrase that you aren't sharing your unique self. It's because you don't believe in yourself and that you can actually do the thing on your own, or you're a little bit afraid of a hard work, or you're a control freak. It's usually one of those three reasons. So I'm not talking about hiring a virtual assistant or team member to properly train them and delegating to them. That's what we all need to be doing more of. But it's making sure that you're not avoiding, like pulling out your authentic voice and pushing it aside, and your gifts, and believing in somebody else more than you believe in yourself. So stay away from shiny objects. Like when I was pregnant in 2020 with my little baby Creed, and I had made President's Club, I was a top producer for over 23 years. I built teams and I supported financial advisors exclusively at the big bank that I work for. I was on my way with Facebook ads. I understood list building from Shanda Sumpter from 2017 or 18. I was doing things that nobody else was doing, but I was pregnant. I decided to write a book, start a podcast, like create all this mountain of debt of things that I had to do, not financial debt, but this like things that I wanted to create. That was my pattern. I would love to putting things on my plate because I just wanted to get it all done. If I just would have went all in and started my podcast and forget about the book, forget about all, I would be what? That was 2020. I'd be 4 years further along in my journey as a podcaster. So let me ask you, if I create all of that and I don't follow through completely with 1,000% love, energy coming from a place of service, and I go through all that and I don't go all in and I don't even wait to see the fruits of my hard work and labor, will that, literally labor since I had a baby, will that produce any results? No, that's shiny objects. That's me believing that harder work equals more pay. And I had all those beliefs. And those beliefs shaped my daily routine and my daily thoughts that were going through my head. So I'm sitting here, you know, staring at all these, basically planting all these seeds and watering them for a little bit and then moving on and planting more seeds, and nothing's able to grow. So I hope that I'm helping you by you listening to some of my stories and some of my students that you will not be able to fund tens of millions of loans per year if you just keep planting seeds and you don't wait for them to grow, or you don't plant a seed and have the courage to stick around and watch it poke through and get that sunlight and just flourish. So now the other side of this is a different kind of pattern. It's the procrastinator. Procrastination will be the assassination of your destiny or your destination. And I didn't, or your destination, if you really want to make it rhyme. And Eileen Wilder says it best. So when you postpone things because you have a fear of learning something new, or fear of technology, or money block, money trauma, lack of self-worth, or belief that those patterns are going to absolutely like kill your business, I need you to reframe all of this. Like, when I started sitting in front of my computer in 2017, I was like, learning is not scary. It's fun. I am going to be a producer, not a consumer of social media. I would get anxiety at first when I went to go break that pattern, that thought process. But man, did I love it when on the other side of it was this amazing change. And I noticed it back then when I would sit down to learn something. And instead, I would go to my kitchen and I would start unloading the dishwasher, or I'd start folding laundry. And I didn't realize that I was moving towards like pleasure and away from pain. And I wanted to feel productive. That's what we all want to feel, like productive, be of service to the world. So once I became aware that, remember, awareness is the first step of problem solving. And I moved out of unconscious incompetence. So thank God somehow along the way, I learned that I was becoming aware that I was postponing or procrastinating. So I developed success filtering questions. And I would ask myself, like, what's more painful? Learning that new thing that's going to help me make money so I can provide for my family, keep milk in the fridge, keep the lights on, and help me remodel my bathroom or get that lake house in Lake Tolik that I want, that I have on my vision board, which by the way, I'm getting very soon. So in other words, like that pain was just going to be temporary. But when I stopped resisting it, I would be able to push through, and the learning on the other side of that was gold. So all those things I just rattled off was what I get to have. That's not painful. The end result isn't painful. That's amazing, the end result. But it felt painful pushing through. So I procrastinated. So then I started folding laundry, making myself feel wholesome and feeding my motherly soul and keeping away from learning that little bit of technology or that CRM or something digital or whatever it is. But hey, folding laundry, I felt good, felt like a great mom. But I was resisting that magical process of learning is not scary, it's fun. So I kept folding laundry instead of learning. And guess what? If you keep doing things like that, I won't have milk in the fridge. I won't have a remodeled bathroom. I won't have that lake house. So I have to suffer the pain of knowing that I was not able to pay my mortgage. I had to borrow for my retirement or my savings. Like, do you feel me on where I'm going from this? So thank goodness I never had to do any of that, because I developed that success filtering question and that thought process before I moved towards so much pain that I folded one basket too much and I lost a loan, or I didn't get more leads, or I didn't learn that new thing. So pay attention to what's going to be the long-term pain versus pleasure, not the short-term. And as we wrap up, I'll say this. Tony Robbins, he says that rituals and routines shape our life. And we blame our success or failure on some one big event, but it's not that one success moment or failure. And by the way, failure is not fatal, so don't be afraid of failure. But when you take that moment, you're super happy or you're super mad, you cannot credit it to that moment. It is all the little things that we did every single day that shape our current reality. that, in other words, that led us to that moment. So you can blame your childhood or the interest rate market or that you're an old timer and that you're not that great at technology, or that you have a big nose and you don't want to do social media because you don't like yourself on video, or whatever it is that you're doing every day consistently that's keeping you stuck in that routine, that's keeping you safe, or at least makes you feel safe. You're making a compound effect, and you're waking up every morning. You're choosing to do that same thing every single day, that same thought process, that same activity, when you can instead win every single day and be unstoppable. So if we can get just the day right and then the week right, and that happens, that change happens incrementally and consistency compounds. So ask yourself things like, how am I investing in myself today to be a better leader? What's my plan for the day? True leaders add value by serving. So how are you going to serve today? We must know how to relate by listening. We must know what our patterns are so we can create that compound effect of success. So one of the irrefutable laws of success is the law of process. So I want you to ask yourself, what daily process can I put into place? And don't worry about the past. Don't worry about the future. It's just winning for the day. And if you listen to this podcast right now and you move on with your life and you don't implement any of these thoughts or processes, then that might be your pattern. That's probably your pattern. So there's top producing mortgage loan originators, wildly successful people that have amazing discipline, like military discipline. But they're also stuck in a pattern. It could be good, could be bad, but they know exactly what they need to do every single day. They're in the 5 a.m. club. They're likely military style. Some of them are stuck in belief that harder work equals more pay. Some of them are stuck in IOU energy. And they think that calling and open houses and, you know, doing this crazy militant thing is exactly what's going to create their success. And you know what? A lot of them are right. If you have that discipline, a lot of them are right. But if you're like, you know what, Tiff, I don't want to be chained to the phone. I don't want to be chained to driving around and like chasing business, begging for business, then I want you to know that all these things that I'm teaching you, just these little shifts that you do, small hinges move big doors, that those little things that you can do will keep you away from that like military discipline, and you'll still double, triple, quadruple your business. So if you're a loan officer listening to this and you're like yelling at the car iPhone speaker like right now, because like I did it to Wayne Dyer that day, because you love cold calling or you love doing that update calls to 9 million people every single week. And then honestly, I commend you for that. And that's probably why you're in the top percentile. But I want to speak to the 90% of lenders and entrepreneurs out there that do not want or do not have the discipline, and they are feeling so guilty and overwhelmed and out of alignment with their goals. I want to show you that there's a better way, a different way of doing things. And I'll leave you with this, okay? I said that earlier, but I'm really leaving. History shows that when you follow the masses are oftentimes wrong, and you follow the one or two people that are doing their own thing consistently, and you'll probably never make another mistake in your life again. So don't follow the masses. Don't be a lemming. And that was out of the mouth of Bob Proctor in the Science of Getting Rich seminar that he created in 2020. There's Audible on that, by the way. Highly recommend it. So I invite you to be present. Look at every 60-minute increment in your workday, in your life, and keep yourself off track. Well, that's not a good takeaway. I invite you to keep yourself on track. What did I set out to do today? Will this make my boat go faster? Is this the highest and best use of my time? Multitasking, like, am I multitasking or am I doing the one-touch rule? Is this a shiny object? Is this the best way to move through my workday? Am I venting and complaining instead of making progress? Is this a negative habit or a positive habit? Okay. So ask yourself these success filtering questions. And in every 60-minute increment in your day, if you do these things, you will rewire your brain with better habits, more skills. You'll be able to push through. Learning is not scary. It's fun. And learning something new. And I made that quote up myself and put it on a post-it note, stick it up on your laptop, in your vision board, and everywhere, and in your car. And appreciate overwhelm because it means you're growing. So what are you going to do in the present right now in the next 60 minutes? It's going to create a different future, and it's going to break you of your negative pattern. So I hope this was helpful. I share this stuff with you because I personally have been on this journey. I love you. This is my purpose. And if I can impact just one person listening to this, it is, I genuinely believe that it's my purpose and my passion. And it's so worth it for me to spend this time, line out things like this, believe in yourself, and until then, borrow from my belief. And we can be our own worst enemy. And I want you to get out of your own way. Go make that money. That's your birthright to have. So thank you. Please give me a 5-star comment. Share with somebody who needs to hear this. I love you, and I will see you soon.